last week, we were looking at the topic of faith. Because we're going to make it through our storm, we must have a faith that can't be sunk. What does a faith that can't be sunk look like? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons on faith. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look this morning at one verse, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. 11 and 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, you find these words: by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Notice now, the text starts with faith. It says by faith, but it ends the same way it started. It says, by faith. I want to talk about an unsinkable faith. An unsinkable faith. High five somebody and tell them Pastor going to talk about an unsinkable faith. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the topic of faith. And we're looking at chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is the heroes of faith. You know, one of the favorite games that I used to like to play was the game Battleship. You know that game. The game centers around you seeking out your opponent's battleship. And once you have sought them out and located them, you fired upon them and you tried to blow up their battleship. Do you know life is like that? The devil is on a seek and attack mission. He's trying to seek out your faith and destroy it. You may think that, Pastor, the devil is out to destroy my family. Oh, he may attack your family, but he's really trying to destroy your faith. I've heard people say, Pastor, pray for me. The devil is attacking my finances. That may be true. But he's really trying to attack and destroy your faith. You can always go and find another job. But it's going to be hard to come back and get another faith. So the devil is out to discourage you today. Sometimes the devil will attack you even at church. And you may say, Pastor, pray for me because the devil's attacking me here at the church. But the devil is really trying to attack your faith. Because he knows if he can sink your faith, then he can sink your soul. The devil is out to attack and destroy your faith. But I want you to know, if you got the right kind of faith, and you got your faith put in the right person, I don't care what the devil do, regardless what he throw at you, as mama and them used to say, hell or high water can't destroy you. If you got the right kind of faith and got it placed in the right person. Because you would have what I call an unsinkable faith. A faith that can't be sunk. As a matter of fact, this morning we're going to look at a man that had to go through a spiritual hell on earth and had to go through high water, and him and his family made it out alive because they had what I call unsinkable faith. I'm talking about this man named Noah. You know, Noah is the third person in this honor roll of faith that we're looking at. You know, the first person that we looked at, Abel. And Abel was a man who worshiped God by faith. The second man we looked at last week was a man named Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God by faith. But I want you to see Noah, this man here, he worked for God. He stayed focused on one job 120 years. How did he do it? By faith. Let me tell you something. When you worship God right and walk with God, then you can work for God when you got an unsinkable faith. This man here, he worked for God because he had faith. And I want you to know that you can work for God. You can make it if you too got unsinkable faith. Amen. How do you know you got unsinkable faith? Can I give you four things this morning? Can I take four things off the wagon this morning? Can I give you four things about an unsinkable faith, or a faith that can't be sunk? See, a faith that can't be sunk is a faith, number one, that fears God. Notice the text now. We're going to have to milk this text this morning, so stay with me. The Bible says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Notice what the text said. It says by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Notice Noah's life was changed. He went from being a sinner to a saint. Why? Because he was motivated by fear. God told Noah, Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to be a flood like it has never been before. Now, keep in mind, Noah had never seen rain because it had never rained in Noah's day. So God was talking to Noah about some stuff that he ain't never seen, stuff that he ain't never heard. He ain't never seen nothing flood before. He had never heard no lightning flashing or no thunder roaring. He never had been through a thunderstorm before. So God was telling him about stuff that he had never seen, but because God said it, that settled it for him, and he believed it. And that moved him by fear. Do you know fear is a good thing? Now, what do this word fear means? Some theologian says that this word fear means reverence. It means respect. respect, having a holy respect, a holy reverence, a high esteem, honor for God. That's what theologians say. And I agree with that. It means that you're supposed to have a reverence for God. It means you're supposed to honor God. Whatever God says, then that ought to settle it in your mind. If God said it, you ought to believe it, and it ought to be settled. But I also believe that this word fear means scared. I believe it also means being afraid. Means that you're scared to death. See, the reason I believe that, I believe this word fear is just like this quarter. There's two sides to every coin. You got a head and you got a tail. See, that's one way you know you got a real quarter, is you got a head and a tail. If somebody give you a quarter and it's only have a head but no tail, then you know that that ain't no spin. Yeah, they used to tell us growing up, don't you take no wooden nickels. That's like a wooden nickel. That ain't no spin. It's got to have a head and a tail. And I think that when we're talking about this word fear, don't just say it just honors God, but also look at that other side. Fear is also afraid of God. Listen. If God tells you that it's gonna rain, and he tells you that it's gonna flood, if he tells you that he's gonna have to judge this world because of the wickedness of sin, then that ought to move you to be afraid. You ought not just have a holy respect for God and say, yes, sir, God. That ought to move you to change your life because you are afraid of God. The context tells you the meaning of a word. God was telling Noah something about judgment. The Bible says this was a warning. Warning ought to make you scared. Hello, somebody. It was just like Hurricane Sandy that came. Folks just didn't have respect for Hurricane Sandy. They said, we need to move on out the way of Hurricane Sandy. Why? Because of the destructive force of Hurricane Sandy. In the same way, it ought to move you to change your ways when you hear that God says, I'm going to judge this world because of sin. Yeah, fear is a good thing. Matter of fact, fear is a motivator. Matter of fact, you learned some of your first lessons because you was motivated by fear. Oh, I know I'm right. Let me see, can I go to your neighborhood right now? How many of your mamas told you, listen, I want that room clean. And that room need to be clean by the time I get back. Now, if that room is not clean by the time I get back, you know what I'm going to do. Now, mama just wasn't making no idle threat. Mama had the power to carry out the threat. And you went in there and you cleaned that room. What motivated you to clean that room? Fear. When you went to school, your school teacher. Say, listen, on Friday, we're going to have an exam. And if you don't show up for the exam, it won't be no makeup test. And if you don't show up, you're going to get a zero. So even if you had a cold, you had a flu, you tried your best to make it there to that class. Why? Because you didn't want to get no zero. What motivated you? It was fear. Even doctors. You go to the doctor and the doctor look at your liver and the doctor say you've been drinking. You're going to have to leave that, put that whiskey bottle down unless you're going to die. What do you do when you hear a report like that? You put that whiskey bottle down because you don't want to die right now. What motivated you? It was fear. Even when we got to go to the airport, they tell us to be there at the airport 2 hours in advance. You see people driving 60, 70, 80 miles an hour trying to make it there to the airport. When they get there to the airport, you'll see them, they're running through the airport trying to catch the plane. Why is it that they running through the airport? Why is they driving so fast? Why sometimes you'll see them sitting in the airport 2 and 3 hours in advance? It's because they know if the plane is supposed to leave at 7:15 and they ain't on that plane by 7:15, they gonna get left. And because they don't want to get left, they do what they supposed to do. They are motivated then by what? Fear. I ain't in somebody's neighborhood yet, so let's just go out there on the highway. The highway say you're supposed to go 70 miles an hour, but you in a hurry, so you going about 85. But soon as you top that hill, you see a Texas fan is sitting over there at the bottom of the hill. What do? You hit your brakes, you take your foot off the accelerator, you bring it back down to 69 miles an hour. Why you driving 69 miles an hour with your bad self? It's all because of you motivated by fear. This coming Friday, they're going to have the Black Friday sales. Some of the companies, stores, they're having television sets, $1,000 television sets. They're cutting their price, $500. They're having sales on these Xboxes and these little games that the kids play, Nintendos and what have you. They're cutting that in half, stuff that costs $300, $400. They're cutting it in half. Cameras that cost $300, $400, they cutting it in half. You're going to see folks sitting out there all night long. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's snowing. You'll see them, they bringing their lawn chairs. They bringing their radios. They sitting out there all night long so that when that store open up, they can be one of the first ones to get it. Because you know what the catch always is? Why? The supply lasts. And they only got a limited supply. Why is it the folks sitting out there all night long? Fear. Fear is a good thing. And this was the thing that motivated Noah. When God told Noah that it's going to rain, Noah got busy and started building an ark. All because he was moved by fear. Do you know why folks ain't changing today? It's because we preaching a prosperity gospel. We preaching a name it, claim it kind of gospel. We preaching a blab it and grab it kind of gospel. And as a result, folks are trying to blab it and grab it. They're just trying to name it and claim it. They're just running after blessings rather than running after the blesser. But if Noah would have just run after the blessings rather than running after the blesser, he would have sunk down with everybody else. Listen, if we're going to save some folks, we need to preach a gospel where you have the fear of God. Listen, if parents use fear to motivate the children, if doctors use fear to motivate the patients, if advertisers use fear to motivate the customer, if teachers use fear to motivate the students, why come we as Christians can't use fear to motivate sinners to become a saint? If we want to win this world to Christ, we're going to have to preach the fear of God. If you want your children to change, you better quit preaching, naming and claiming, and preach the fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's, in other words, that's the starting place. You'll never get started until you have a fear of God. That's the thing that kept me out of the club. And when I did go into the club, I'm always looking around because I was scared of God. of God, if you're going to have a faith that can't be sunk, then you got to have the fear of God, a faith that fears God. But number two, and then an unsinkable faith is a faith that saves its family. It's a faith that saved the family. Look at the text here. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the savings of his house. Stop right there. Don't go too fast. He had a faith that focused on saving his family. Let me tell you, once you get saved, brothers, don't run down to the church and try to preach. Once you get saved, don't run and try to be the deacon. Don't try to be the Sunday school teacher. Once you get saved, start working on your household. That's your first assignment. Your first assignment, man, is to make sure that your family gets saved. If nobody else gets saved, your family ought to get saved. Your wife, your children ought to get saved. That's your first ministry. God is not calling you to come away from saving your family. It starts with saving your family, and then it spreads abroad. The Bible says he prepared an ark. Where did he get the blueprint from? God gave him the blueprint. See, God gave him the blueprint. See, whatever God called you to do, he already got the plans. You don't have to come up with some plans. God already got the plan. So just stay with God. Just like God done called you to do something, God is going to give you the plans on how to do it. Gave Noah the plans, the blueprint to save his house. Somebody said, well, where did he get the construction through? What about the team, his building team? His family was his construction crew. His family was the building team. How do I know? I know how God works. See, if you are planting a garden, then God said you ought to be some of the first to get the fruit from the garden. If they going to get in the ship, then they going to help build the ship. Those that build the ship can get into the ship. That's how I know. But another way I know is God designed for the family. How is God designed for the family? God takes a man and he brings him to an assigned place to do an assigned thing. But the job is always bigger than himself, for he's going to need some help. And so he brings him a helpmate. Just like God gave Adam a job, but then he brought Eve to help him in the job. But in order to really complete the job and explain the job, he brought children to help him. In the same way, that's what God did with Noah. He called Noah to do a job, but I need some help, God. You got Miss Noah. Miss Noah helped him. He got three children, three sons. The three sons helped, but the three sons had three wives. And so that was his construction crew. And see, he kept them on his team. How did he keep them on his team? Well, the Bible says that Noah walked with God. Well, you can't walk with God unless you're talking to God. We call it prayer. That's just a fancy.
Bread of life sent down from the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time.